Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Checkerboard Radio, your home for all things ball. With Lee Crow, at Lee Crow, and Andrew Durego, A.W. Durego on Twitter. You're listening to Checkerboard Radio, a B-Sporto channel.
Welcome into Checkerboard Radio here on Vol Sports Radio, a B-Sporto channel, the place all Vol fans want to run to. I'm Andrew Durego from CheckerboardRadio.com, and I'm joined, as always, by Lee Crow. We've got a big show today. VFL wide receiver Joey Kent will be joining us later in the show, and it is officially game week. We've made it through the summer. We've had injuries. We've had suspensions. We've had ACT tests come back. Wild off season, but we are now in game week. Lee, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm awesome, fired up. Can't wait to get to a Nissan Field on Saturday. It's going to be a great week. Football week is always – first week of football week, football is always the best week ever. So it should be a great week.
Yeah, Lee will be covering the game for Checkerboard Radio from the press box and then on the sidelines. As the game comes to an end. So speaking of Nissan Field, later on in the show, we will be announcing the winner of the first Checkerboard Radio giveaway. We have a parking pass that we'll be giving away to a lucky person. Hopefully you will be the winner. We'll contact you on air and then we'll get in touch with you so we can FedEx you your parking pass if you are the lucky winner. But yeah, I know we normally start the show kind of with a little current events and pop culture kind of stuff around the country. First of all, what did you think of Fear the Walking Dead last week?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I've got to get their theme music. I really couldn't find any theme music for that, so we're still using the main show's theme music for this little segment here. But, yeah, I loved it, man. It kind of exceeded my expectations because I thought I would go into it and be disappointed because I was so, you know, when you're so excited for something that it's guaranteed to let you down. That's what I thought I was in for, but it actually exceeded my expectations. That little scene where they had the viral video on California highways that you see all the time with car chases and, you know, stuff like that. And they incorporated it into the show. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I, you know, I've been trying to get my fiance into The Walking Dead. She's behind on the main series. So I was like, hey, you can start fresh. Watch Fear the Walking Dead with me. We were over at a friend's house when we watched it. And her only complaint was, where's the zombie? Where's the zombie? She's waiting for one.
it kind of made you wait for a minute. I like that, though.
Yeah.
Well, no, they gave you one in the first few minutes, but, you know, just like briefly.
Yeah. Well, she was in a different room for that first one, but then she came in and sat down and watched it. But switching from Walking Dead to sports, which is what we were also very good at talking about. The big story came out from Virginia Tech, and I believe also Cincinnati this week, about players being assessed fines, and with the fines being paid out from their cost of attendance money. I mean, it varies from school to school.
Right.
I think Tennessee players get around $5,000 a year in addition to, you know, their school books and meals paid for because, you know, they don't have time to get a part-time job. Bud Foster, the defensive coordinator for Virginia Tech and more than likely head coach in waiting once Frank Beamer retires, said the coaching staff will be exploring fining players money from cost of attendance fund as future disciplinary measure. Foster said some players got in trouble for having players run at 6 a.m., so fining them has been a topic. Foster also said, quote, in the real world, if you don't adhere to rules and regulations, you get fired. We are not in a position to fire anybody right now. And then an image came out of these fines. And I'm going to run through some of them real quick. You miss a class on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, $30. Tuesday, Thursday, you know, your longer classes, that's $45 per class. You're late to study hall, $5. You miss study hall, $10 an hour. Any time after 5 minutes counts as a miss. You miss breakfast, $10. You miss treatment, $20. teacher calls coach, says you're disruptive in class, 15. Your dorm's dirty, $50. You got a dirty locker, $50. You get an unsportsmanlike or flagrant, that's $100. Lack of equipment for practice, $50. You're late for a trip, $10. Then there's also, I stumbled on this one this morning. These are the fines for improper equipment, visor, shoes, socks, undergarments, pregame, and during the game. Everyone should dress the same. Bruce Garns, probably the equipment manager, will check and have final say. First offense, $100, and you lose 4 tickets to the next game. Second offense, $200, 4 tickets to the next 2 games. Third offense, $300, 345, it goes up. Your sixth offense, it jumps to $800. Seventh offense, it jumps to $1,600. Eighth offense,
wow,
they do not take you to the bowl game.
Wow.
When I first read this story earlier this week, I put, you know, a little meme said, you know, incoming horrible opinion. And I'm going to do it again right now. I like the idea.
Yeah.
I support it.
I don't have a problem with it, really. I really don't. And I know, well, one reason I don't have a problem with it is because Michael Hossfield, which is Ann O'Bannon's attorney, is completely against it. So anything he's against, I automatically just assume the opposite position until I do the research. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with that at all, really. I mean, back in my day, they used to call that, they didn't call it cost of attendance. They call it like laundry money or whatever they do, the laundry money or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, it would help them learn, you know, a little responsibility. I mean, that's what you got to go through in the employment world, you know, when you're gainfully employed as an adult, you know. And that gets into the whole argument of, well, you know, they're employees and they should be paid a, you know, decent wage and all that stuff. I mean, I understand that. And you get into the Northwestern and the unions and all that stuff. But, I don't have a problem with that. Withholding a little bit of that laundry money, cost of attendance money, if they do something wrong, they screw something up. Why should this guy get the exact same as the other guy that's doing everything right if this guy's constantly, you know, screwing up?
Well, and, you know, I'm in West Tennessee this weekend for a family get-together, and I was talking with one of my fiancé's uncles about it last night. He liked it, and he made a good point. He said, you know, ask any player, give them the option, hey, either you're just suspended the first half, or it's 50, or you pay $50. What do you think those kids are going to do? They're going to pay the $50 and say, I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the point, my issue with it, you know, like Coach Foster said, you know, they got in trouble for making people run at 6 in the morning. Okay. Well, you played high school ball. I played high school ball. You know, you get punished. You know, you had to run laps this. You're late to practice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old Division I athletes in peak physical condition. If it's a wide receiver that's late for practice, do you really think he cares about running a little more than usual?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, the big boys would be the ones that care about that. But,
yeah,
no, you're
the big boy
right.
Might be saying, hey, I'll pay so I don't have to run. But I get a lot of national writers were up in arms about it and saying, you know, blah, 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 they barely make any money. But at the same time, like, a lot of them say, oh, this is going to hurt Virginia Tech recruiting. You know, teams are going to negatively recruit against them and point that out. If I had a son and he was getting recruited by a school and they said, hey, just an FYI, we fine our players that aren't responsible, I'd say, cool, I like that. Help teach my son responsibility. You're in charge of him for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Getting,
you know, these, you know, parents are giving away their kids to these folks basically for their care for the next 4 or 5 years, you know, basically as a substitute set of parents, you know, so coaching staffs are substitute fathers in a lot of cases, man. That's just the nature of the beast. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, teach them like you'd want them to be taught at home. I absolutely agree with that.
I mean, and it's, so, yeah, why not? And, you know, Butch Jones was asked about it this week. He said Tennessee will not be adopting any system like that. I think they still like the age-old method of going around in stadiums. So, I mean, which is fine. It's a choice-by-choice thing. Eventually, one school is going to continue to do it, and one player is going to complain, and it's going to set off some big lawsuit more than likely. But, It is what it is. But, Lee, as we jump into it, it is game week. And with it being Bowling Green week, one thing, if you don't have tickets yet, you definitely should check it out. You need to go to SeatGeek. You can download their app. It's a free app, really, really helpful app. Basically what their app does, it aggregates tickets from every major ticket site, puts them all in one place to make comparison shopping for tickets easy. It's kind of like other websites with concerts where you're like, oh, you find a good deal, but there it is. But with SeatGeek, you're going to get a good deal. And thankfully, vSporto has partnered with SeatGeek. So if you enter, you download the SeatGeek app and you get use the promo code VOLS, V-O-L-S, you can save $20 on tickets. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first purchase using their free app. So if you don't have tickets yet, you might want to check out the SeatGeek app for free and see if you can find some tickets in Nashville for the Bowling Green game. Heard there's about 10,000 left right now, actually. So, which is kind of a shocker. I thought it'd be sold out by now.
Yeah, I'm shocked at that myself. But we have a caller on, and I'm going to bring them on. They might want to get in on this finding players discussion. Caller from the 706 area code, you're on Checkerboard Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris from Georgia. I was kind of calling in because you guys were talking about tickets. Have you guys seen the article about where Georgia student they had 7 home games this year, but they only get 6 due to the high demand of tickets, especially, and a lot of students. More students are either missing what games were they? I think it might be the Auburn or the Alabama ticket, one of those two. I know a lot of them were complaining about missing the Alabama ticket. You know, that's the biggest game Georgia's going to have probably in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, this has national championship implications for them. And it seems like the school is wanting to sell those tickets to, you know, random people and alumni for $45 instead of selling it to a student for $10. And I was just trying to get your – what do you guys think about that? Do you think Tennessee would ever do that? I mean, the Oklahoma
game is a huge game, but I feel like that the students still got their fair share of tickets.
You've seen it a little bit with Tennessee over the past couple of years, especially in the dual years. You know, students weren't as into football as, you know, when I was in school. And also the ticket process has changed. So they've made that ticket allotment smaller and smaller because there's more money to be made by selling them to a third party or selling them yourselves as a university. And that's why you saw when Butch Jones, in his first year here, went to all the frats and sororities, went to, you know, different classes. Like, he showed up in classes and begged students to come to games. One, to build atmosphere, and two, because they basically said, the administration said, if you guys aren't coming to the games, we're not giving you this allotment anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where that's coming from, but, I mean, Georgia here recently hasn't really had an issue with Phil and Sanford. I don't know. I think it's kind of wrong on Georgia's administration's part to take away. I mean, this is the biggest game, like I said, they'll have in the next 5 years. So I don't know. I think it's kind of crappy on their part. But also another quick question. On middle linebacker, that's really the only place that really needs to be filled with a starter. Who do you guys have? I mean, I have Darren Kirkland Jr., but, I mean, he's still young, but – A.J. Johnson was young at 1.2, and look how good he turned out. I mean, who do you guys have?
Well, you already know how I feel. For me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I always want to err on the side of athleticism and a scholarship athlete over a walk-on that tries hard, especially in a position like middle linebacker. I mean, I know you got to get the defense lined up. I understand that to the quarterback of the defense. I get it. I really do. I've played the game. I understand. But I would err on a guy on the side of caution, where a guy that can, like, run across the field laterally and chase down, a receiver on a reverse or something, over than a guy who's lined up properly and can't get there in half the distance. You know what I'm saying? I would always err on the side of a beast athlete, even if he's younger, over a walk-on. That's just the way I look at it. I mean, if he's good enough to go on scholarship, go ahead and throw Colton Jumper on scholarship. And, you know, they got a gem as a walk-on. I know he had a couple of smaller mid-level or mid-major offers. and he chose to walk on the ET. I get it. I really do. I get it. I know. I understand people try hard. I get it. But I always err on the side of the four-star stud.
Well, and the way I look at it, and I compared him to it when I think it was about 12 days ago, John Jansen compared or said that the middle linebacker was down to Kenny Bynum, Darren Kirkland, and Colton Jumper. And just me being me, is Colton Jumper, is he Ryan Carl 3.0 or Nick Reves 2.0? I mean, yeah, I get he's a walk-on. He's, like you said, Lee, he had some smaller offers but wanted to come play here. My thing is, and I saw a tweet about it this week, a media member compared or kind of hyped up Kirkland and Jumper and said, it's a credit to them that they've already passed up Kenny Bynum. I don't know what they were watching of Kenny Bynum last year, but him and Jakob Johnson, terrible.
Terrible. Yeah, and I think that everybody's like, well, does Darren Kirkland Jr. got the leadership skills to play middle linebacker? He's surrounded by, Derek Barnett, who's showing his leadership skills. Kurt Majette, who is a natural leader on the field. JRM, who's a natural leader on the field. Cam Sutton, Brian Randolph. I mean, Darren Kirkland Jr., it would be nice to have our middle linebacker as the leader, but we don't absolutely have to have our middle linebacker as the leader. It doesn't have to be an upperclassman. A freshman middle linebacker learning now to be a leader will benefit us in the future when Brian Randolph, Cam Sutton, JRM, Kurt Majette are gone. And I think the best thing to do is to get him on the field this year because we're going to need him next year. We're not going to have a Kenny Bynum. I mean, we'll probably have Jumper still, but, I mean, we're not going to have those guys to rely on and be like, well, we need this guy to push Darren Kirkland to be a senior. No, to be a leader. He's got to be a leader now. He's got to learn those skills this year for the future. And that's just my opinion on it. I appreciate you guys taking my call. I'll be watching Fear the Walking Dead with you guys tonight. So if you guys are a little behind me or anything, I'll try not to spoil anything.
Did you register? Are you coming up for the game, Chris?
Yeah, I looked online. If I get that.
Oh, I lost him there for a second. Hold on.
You guys there?
You still there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
yeah,
if
I get that parking pass, I'm going to buy a ticket. But if not, then, the parking passes are more expensive than the tickets.
Well, stay tuned. We'll probably be giving that away in about 30 minutes. So stay tuned.
All right, man. I'll be listening. And thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right. We appreciate you calling in, Chris. Chris Hustling, if he gets the parking pass, he'll buy a ticket to the game. Well played, Chris from Georgia. But, well, it's like he brought up middle linebacker. Do you want the typical, middle linebacker is your quote-unquote leader of the defense? He's the guy getting everybody lined up. Does it have to be the smartest guy? Maybe. But, I mean, with how this team is at linebacker, I'd be fine with Brian Randolph or Jalen Reeves-Bateman calling the play.
Yeah,
everybody's
stop right there. This team's going to be a majority. I mean, looking at the schedule, this team's going to be a majority nickel defense team anyway. So there's not going to be that middle linebacker in there most of the time making that call anyway. It's going to be Reeves Maven. So it's not that big a deal. He can help the kid with the calls if the calls are the issue, and I don't think that's the issue. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're trying to motivate some of these other guys at middle, like a Gavin Bryant or some of these guys. I don't know. I mean, or Bates or whatever. I really don't know what the whole story on the Colton Jumper thing is, but there's no way you can tell me that he's the best option there at this point. I just can't see it. I really can't see it. But, I have a bias against walk-on. I'm a horrible person. So.
but with linebacker, I think we're going to see probably a combination of all three, honestly, against Bowling Green as the game progresses. You're going to see Kirkland. You're going to see Jumper. You're probably going to see Kenny Bynum. You're going to see a lot of guys, and then you're going to see the promo tweet. Tennessee had 34 newcomers play on Saturday. Let's go ahead and get that, and we'll put another billboard up. I can't believe somebody reminded me about that this week.
I posted the billboard. I had the Wharton on the left side and Sawyer's on the right side.
this looks ridiculous at this point now in retrospect. But did you see where Florida put on like six walk-ons yesterday, gave them scholarships, five or six guys? You see that?
At where?
Florida. Florida gave like six walk-ons scholarships yesterday. It made the news.
Not.
I mean, it just shows you where their program is, and that just points to this game this year. I mean, it's like it's a road win, but it's like a must win. There's no way these guys need to lose to Florida this year. They're going to be absolutely horrible. I think people are going to be shocked at how bad they are.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And one thing that has been kind of come up, and I've had some discussions about it with some sources this week. You know, people are kind of concerned about the offensive line, and Butch Jones said this week that they were going to rotate it kind of game by game.
Before you get all the way into that, let's do this, and then we'll segue right into that because I know what you're going into. Give me who is your preferred starting week one on of the schedule? Who would you like to see position by position on the O-line? And we'll go back, and then we'll go into what you're about to go into because I know what it is.
Position by position on the offensive line, I mean, just left to right. Right now, I mean, I'm okay with Kurbison at left. I want probably Wiseman at left guard. Center either Crowder or Coleman Thomas. Your right guard is Jayshon Robertson. And then my right tackle is Brett Kendrick.
Right. For me, left to right, I'd go ahead and do it. I'd go ahead, like we're just talking about linebacker, I'd go ahead and do it because he's got the physical talent, skill, and ability. I'd go ahead and throw him.
You're going straight Richmond?
I'm going straight Richmond at left. I move Kurbison into the left guard position where he could help mentor the young man, help him with his calls, help him with his reads. Right there beside him on his left side will be Richmond. If he needs any help at all, he's right there with him to help mentor him. He's more suited to guard anyway. Coleman Thomas at center, right guard is Robertson, of course, and then right tackle, I'd left Brett Kendrick. So that leads us to the question of what's going on with Kendrick. I mean, I think he's everybody's obvious choice in the fan base anyway at right tackle. So what's going on there?
Well, speaking with a source earlier this week, and I was trying to find the exact quote, and actually it turns out it's not – a new quote. Earlier this week, Butch Jones was talking about, you know, parents being overly involved with the players. And he said, there are parents who are preparing the path for the kid, and there are parents who are preparing the kid for the path. He also added, there are too many parents trying to prepare that path. He added, it's good for them to fail. It's good for them to strike out at baseball. Good for them to fall off their bike and scrape their knee up. It turns out Butch has also said that quote several times about the parents preparing the path for the kid instead of the kid for the path. I've been told this is in direct relation to comments Brett Kendrick's mom has made. It turns out last season there were complaints that they felt, the family felt that Brett was being treated too harshly and rudely, which essentially just made it worse because the coaches got, I guess, mad that this mom is calling them and saying, you know, hey, you're treating my son wrong, blah, blah, blah. It got to the point, I'm told by a source close to it, that Kendrick approached the coaching staff last week about quitting the team. But he was talked out of it and said, hey, was told, you know, take some time to think about this, and then returned to practice a couple days later and was working back at right tackle, even though it was with the second team. He is been moving around a little bit on the offensive line, apparently, and a lot of people are still kind of shocked about this, but, you know, Coleman Thomas is getting that right tackle spot when multiple people just don't think he has the makeup or the skill set to be able to play tackle. A lot of people think he'll be better suited at a guard or even center. So it's kind of on – it's the way I look at this after talking with my source is that it's a family thinking their kid is being mistreated and not getting a fair shake at earning a position versus a coaching staff telling a family, this is how we're running stuff, deal with it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard, well, there's been stories out, you know, for a year or so now about the Kendrick family and issues with the coaching staff. And Kendrick's, like, you know, in the doghouse perpetually there because of it. That's been out for a while. But, I mean, you can kind of confirm that now with some of the things you heard from your source. So, I mean, that's good stuff.
I mean, I'd already heard a lot of that. But it all pieced together. Apparently, you know, some parents, and you've seen this in the past, even back in the former days, parents hopping on message boards and saying stuff. It'll be interesting to watch and see. I think the coaching staff likes Kendrick as a talent. I think they just kind of want, and this is in no offense to any family members of Kendrick's, I think the coaching staff kind of just wants them to back off and let them handle it. It's kind of just like, hey, this is SEC football. This isn't, you know, 7-year-old AYSO soccer where everybody plays and gets a trophy and orange slices after the game. So it is what it is. But with looking at I kind of like your left to right. You know, you and I have been debating back and forth all off season. Just go ahead and throw Drew Richmond to the fire. I'm almost on that boat. I've got the life jacket on. I've got a foot on the boat, but I'm still holding on the dock. Like, well, maybe maybe he needs a little bit more time, because honestly, Drew Richmond, I haven't heard much about him at camp.
I thought they were kind of going to go the humbling process with him, and they may be trying to motivate him by taking off Denzel Bowler's strike before him. And, you know, there was a little marshmallow comment at one of the practices that everybody in the media heard. So maybe they're trying to get him to toughen up. But, you know, I've seen the kid's footwork. I've seen his athleticism. You know, he can do that. He can play that position. He was more athletic, you know, a year ago than Kurbison is now. So, I mean, he can play that position. It's just a matter of, you know, getting his head all right and getting in the playbook, I guess. And I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it'll – and it's like, you know, I talked about towards the beginning of camp, I think after practice 3, when Butch kind of said, you know, Khalil had a bad practice. Khalil needs to, you know, still work on fundamentals. They're trying to temper those expectations. Everybody, you know – expected Khalil Stripe to come off his helmet after the first practice, after the first time he blew up Austin Sanders. And I think he still has it. I mean, granted, all those stripes usually come off by game day.
Yeah, I'm sure he has it still. I'm sure he still has it. I'm sure he does. But like I said, it might be a motivating thing. He has been slowed by a shoulder strain recently, but you would think after watching all these clips of him just eating people for breakfast, you know, in practice on some of these drills, that he'd lose that stripe quicker than Bowler. But, you know, it's just, I guess they have a process. It's part of the process,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's part of that process. But, I mean, and it's fine. But one of the things, it's just offensive line's going to be tricky. And I think a lot of people, you know, had to be talked off the ledge when Butch said, you know, we're going to use a different rotation game by game. Because it was kind of shades of Dave Clawson and the Clawfence, where he was moving people around all the time, which it was just a nightmare. And, Lee, do we have our guest on with us?
He'll be on momentarily.
All right, great. We're working on getting VFL Joey Kent on the line with us. It'd be exciting to talk with him. But, you know, like I was saying, with the rotating the offensive linemen in the cloth, wouldn't you much rather kind of have a solid set offensive line game in, game out, instead of, hey, let's try it, this guy against this defense each week?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You want. I mean, you know, every coach's dream is to have a set 3-man deep rotation. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, just so you'd already know, but you know, you can't really always do that. You got to motivate these kids some kind of way sometimes, and the depth chart is a hell of a motivator sometimes. So, but I think we do have Joey on now, so we'll go ahead.
All right, we are now joined by VFL wide receiver Joey Kent. Played for the Vols from 93 to 96, almost 3,000 yards. A lot of those coming in his junior and senior years. Joey, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. So this is Andrew Dorego, Checkerboard Radio. We appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to join us. One of the things that I kind of wanted to talk with you off the bat was, what's it like when you, as a player, when you know it's game week, when you know that it's 6 days away and so you're going against an opponent and not a teammate?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gets you excited because you've had a long off season. You know, it starts in basically in January now. You know, if you're lucky enough to go to a bowl game, you play the bowl game, you take 2 weeks off, and you're back at it with morning runs, and then the workouts with the team during the summertime, and then obviously training camp, and that's a grind because you're going against guys that you're used to going against every single day, and they know your tendencies. And so, you know, obviously you're excited about playing against somebody else. I know those guys are ready to go. They've been chomped at the bit to play against Bowling Green, and I'm excited about seeing what's going to happen this season.
Yeah, I am too, man. You were one of my favorite wide receivers of all time. You had a pretty good little quarterback throwing to you too, but I wanted to
– He was okay. Don't give him too much credit. He was okay.
Yeah, he's doing a pinch, right? I was going to ask you, man. The talk of camp this year has been Juwan Jennings out of the Murfreesboro area. He's moved from quarterback over to wide receiver. People are shocked, really, that he's made such a quick transition. But you probably know, like lots of folks know, that quarterback to wide receiver transition is not that difficult if you have the athleticism to play receiver. You got to get used to running every play more. But if you know the route and everything, that's kind of a symbiotic relationship already. This kid is a stud. Have you got a chance to look at him? What do you think about him? How do you think he's going to do? And you think he might crack that starting lineup this Saturday?
You know, I haven't gotten a chance to see him play live or during any scrimmages, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. You know, he's a guy that's 6'3", that's over 200 pounds. And like you said, he was a quarterback in high school and started off his career at Tennessee as a quarterback. So he knows the scheme. He knows the offense. I'm really interested to see how that translates to a game. You know, it's obviously different from a game than practice. And he's, you know, he has the athleticism, but it takes a lot more on that level to be a complete receiver. And so hopefully he'll get in there and make some plays against Bowling Green. But when you're going against Oklahoma or Alabama or Georgia or Florida, you're going to have to rely on your technique. And it's obviously great to have that athleticism to rely on. But I want to see him coming in and out of breaks. I want to see him run disciplined routes. I know that's kind of hard to a lot to ask for a guy that's never played that position on that level. But for him to make that impact that everybody is expecting him to make, he's going to have to do those things against, you know, top-flight competition. And luckily, we're going against Bowling Green in the first game. It's a MAC school, and they have pretty good athletes on the other side of the ball too. But when it gets down to, you know, the SEC play, Oklahoma the next week, that's where his technique is going to have to come into play and mix in his athleticism. But I'm, you know, to answer your question, I'm excited to see him play because he has all the tools from what I understand. I haven't gotten a chance to see him live, but that's a player that I'm really looking forward to keying in on and seeing how he translates his game from the practice field to game day.
Yeah, you know, I let me jump in here again. Let me do a follow up. You know, he kind of reminds me of, I've seen some of the practice footage of him, and he kind of reminds me of a guy you played with that made that similar switch. Number six, Jermaine Copeland, who kind of has the same kind of body type, and
okay. He
kind of reminds me of Jermaine. So I think, I mean, if he's even half the receiver Jermaine is, I mean, the Tennessee fans are in for a hell of a treat, I think.
You know, I've also heard a comparison to Kelly Washington, too. You know, it's the number that has some comparisons, but just his athleticism. You know, Kelly came in as a, you know, as an older player because he played baseball, but just his athleticism. Kelly was not the best route runner, but he used a lot of, he leaned a lot on his athleticism and used his technique when he needed to. And so I've heard those comparisons too. Maurice Staley is another comparison. I don't know if you guys remember that name, but he was athletic and, you know, can make plays on the ball. So our receiving core, we know we talked about this last season, last time I was on. We have a lot of different body types. We have a lot of different weapons out there. It's going to be interesting how Mike DeBoer uses those weapons. Last year's offensive coordinator, Mike Bajakian, didn't throw the ball down the field as much as I've wanted them to do. And when you don't do that, you know, it allows the safeties to come up. And a lot of times you were seeing eight guys in the box because there was really no threat of a downfield pass. And so, in my opinion, you should throw the ball, you know, down the field at least four or five times a game. Even if you don't complete those passes, you know, the safety has to think about those explosive plays. And so hopefully Mike DeBoer comes in with, you know, a little bit different philosophy on the passing game, because we do have the athletes. You know, I went to the spring game, and I was standing next to Malone and Pierce, all those guys, man. I was standing next to those guys, and you know, you're like, wow, these are big time receivers. These look like SEC big time receivers that can run and jump and have quickness. And so, but you have to use those. You have to use those weapons. And I think you know, with DeBoer coming in and hopefully bringing in a new attitude toward the passing game, we can use those weapons effectively.
Joey, and you know, in speaking with the receivers, and you know, you've seen them play last season. A lot of questions have been raised about the five-star freshman last year, Josh Malone. You know, a lot of people expect five stars to show up day one and be all stars. You know, he made some catches last season, but had some growing pains. And there's been, you know, good reviews of him this fall camp. What is that process like for a young guy that, you know, what is so highly rated and did it all in high school, but then, you know, comes up a little short his first year in college? What would you think is going through his head and how he's trying to get better?
You know what? I really, it's kind of hard for me to speak to that, because if they had stars when I was coming out of high school, I was probably like a one or two star maybe. But those guys do have a lot of pressure on them, because, you know, it's an internet driven world now, and everything is right there. Everything is accessible. So people from all across the country, and especially the local guys, we know about them because we either seen them play live or seen them play on film. As far as what they do, what they did in high school, so there's a lot of expectations. And you can also look at the defensive linemen. The three defense linemen that's coming in, that came in this year, you know, McKenzie, Tuttle, and Phillips. You know, it's going to be a lot of expectation on those guys, and they're going to play a lot. But I can imagine, you know, how they feel with that expectation. But a lot of it has to do with attitude. And, you know, Josh is, you know, we talked about this in the past. I worked with Josh a little bit before he went up to Tennessee, and he has all the tools. I think a lot of it had to just do with his attitude going in. And he just has to continue to develop that dog in him, as far as the way he attacks the ball and the way he attacks football in general. But I think he'll be fine. And but it is a different world we live in, as far as the expectations of, you know, true freshmen, 17, 18-year-old kids coming in to a program like Tennessee and expected to do some of the same things they did in high school. A lot of it is, you know, you can't really expect that, but you might have some surprises. You might have, you know, Preston Williams or Khalil McKenzie come in and dominate. You might have that, which would be great, but it's kind of unrealistic to expect those guys to come in and do some of the same things they did in high school, because you're going against, you know, guys that, you know, been in different programs for 3 and 4 or 5 years, and this is your first couple games, and you're 17 years old. You're not physically as developed as a redshirt junior or senior, naturally. So there are expectations minimum expectations of a five-star player. You expect them to make some type of impact, but probably not the impact that you would want to see, especially initially.
Sticking along those lines on the defense, Joey, there's been some attrition from that starting defensive lineup in the secondary this fall camp, losing Ladell McNeil from the safety spot and the starting nickel, Rashawn Gault, and the injuries for the year. All of a sudden, that secondary is a little thin, and they're about to go up against a Bowling Green squad that runs that Baylor-style offense. So,
they do.
What are your thoughts on this weekend's game? Do you think they're going to give up some points this weekend?
I watched a little bit of Bowling Green on Friday night. I watched their bowl game against South Alabama. And you're right, they do run a high, high-speed offense. And the coach is he coached under Browse at Baylor. So they run that same offense. They try to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands fast. They try to get plays off as fast as they can. There is going to be a little – it's going to be fun saying it's going to be 90 degrees, at kickoff on Sunday. So, we kind of had a break from the weather this past couple weeks. But it's going to be a little bit different Sunday. It's going to be very warm for those guys, first game jitters. It's going to be a lot of energy that's going to be spent just being the first game. And so Bowling Green, they do have some weapons. I was not really overly impressed with their quarterback. They played two quarterbacks in the bowl game against South Alabama. They have two receivers that are smaller guys, but they're quick, and they get in and out of breaks really fast.
One of them is Ronnie Moore. I'm not taking another question,
yes.
Andrew. I'm just
yes.
I remember Ronnie Moore,
yes.
That number five.
Yes.
That kid is quick, man. He's like a poor man's Santana Moss, man. That kid is a great slot receiver.
I was impressed.
He's very quick.
I was impressed with him. Yep, I was really impressed with him. They have a number one. I don't have my notes in front of me, but they have a receiver number one. He also is the punt returner, kick returner. Same mold, same quickness. So, the secondary, they're going to have their hands full as far as just transitioning from that style of receiver. Because what they're used to seeing in practice are the 6'3", 6'4", guys that are big, strong, fast. But you're going against a guy that's, 5'9", 5'10", with the quickness. So there's going to be some adjustment defensively for Bowling Green. I wasn't really overly impressed with their athleticism. One thing I was impressed with, they created 30 turnovers last year, and that was like seventh or eighth in the country as far as turnover ratio. They have 15 interceptions, so they can make plays on the ball defensively. But if Tennessee comes in and do what they're supposed to do, this should be one of those games where you win pretty easily, and hopefully you come out healthy.
Joey, one thing I always enjoy asking former players when we have them on. Last week we had Aaron Hayden join us. It's kind of two things. One, with the launch of Nike since we last spoke with you back in April. First, what are your thoughts on the new uniforms? And two, can you give us the official Joey Kent win-loss prediction for this season?
you're gonna put me on the spot, right?
I do it to everybody.
So you're just being fair, right?
Yeah, it'd be unfair if you didn't give us the win loss. I think Hayden went with 9-3 when we spoke with him last week.
Well, I'm right there with him. I mean, I really am. Mm-hmm. I do see at least 9 games, and I think we're going to surprise some people this year. And all of it, of course, is going to have to do with health, and we have to keep Dobbs upright. If Dobbs goes down for any amount of time, significant amount of time, all bets are off, because then you're looking at a true freshman in Dormley as his backup, and then another freshman as Dormley's backup. So, obviously the key to the season is keeping Dobbs upright and keeping, the majority of the team healthy. You're going to have some injuries throughout the year, but if Dobbs is able to play at least 95% of the snaps, I think we should be okay. We have talent, man. The thing about Tennessee is, we've always had talent over the last 4 or 5 years. And obviously the record didn't reflect that, but we just didn't have the depth. And so we now we have really good talent, and we have a little bit more depth. And so I think that's going to be the key to the season, because there's really not a lot of question marks on this team versus the last 4 or 5 years. It's more answers than questions, because the biggest questions, like you guys alluded to at the beginning of the interview, you got what you guys were talking about, whether it's the offensive line, middle linebacker. It's a question mark right now because we just don't know in that nickelback position. But outside of that, man, we're good. Just think about all the questions we had the last 2 or 3 years. You know, we had more questions than answers. This year we had more answers than questions. And so 9-3 is something that I feel that's very attainable as long as Doc stays healthy. And to answer your Nike question, I think the uniforms look great. And, you know, that's what, you know, we didn't have – when I was playing, we had Nike shoes and Nike gear. We didn't necessarily have Nike uniforms, but uniforms look great. I'm looking forward to whenever they roll out the smoky grays. I like that with the gray helmet. I think that's a nice touch on it. But they look great, man. And I went out and bought a shirt yesterday, and it's like Nike is very proud of their prices on these shirts, on these polo shirts. I'm pretty sure you guys can attest to that too. Like, wow, they are proud of these polo shirts. And I'm excited, man. I mean, you know, the game obviously is going to be in our backyard. Here in Nashville, and going to take the family out. We're going to – actually, if you guys don't mind, if I can plug my show a little bit, is that okay?
No, that's what I was going to ask you next. I know you were 104.5 doing some things, and I saw you tweeting about the low T center up in up north of the day. I may or may not know where that's located. I can't confirm or deny if I know exactly where that place is. But
At the Low T Center, you know, just little meet and greet, and we had a good time over there. But we're gonna be broadcasting live. Tennessee Tailgate Show is gonna be back this year. I think it's the 5th or 6th year for the Tennessee Tailgate Show with myself and Jonathan Hutton. We're gonna be broadcasting from the first show is gonna be at the stadium. Location is to be determined right now, but first show is gonna be live from the stadium. Hopefully we're going to have some really good guests. I'm crossing my fingers on one really big guest. And so hopefully that happens. And we're going to have some fun this year talking about the Vols. It's been a long time coming. You know, it's been a lot of shows. And you guys do the same thing weekly where, you know, especially during the season, where you come back the following week or the next day and you're like, golly, this is going to be bad because it's going to be a lot of negative talk about the game. But this year it could be totally different. It can be a lot of positive vibes and a lot of laughing and good times and talking about what we did, the day before, or as far as beating whoever. And so it should be a different vibe and a different feeling for the season if everything comes together.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you joining us today. All the best to you and your family. Hopefully we'll be able to speak with you soon. And
thank you. Check
you out on 104.5.
Thank you, man. Thank you guys for having me. You guys call me anytime, all right?
All right, we appreciate it, Joey.
All right. Take care.
That was VFL Joey Kent, 93-96. Like I said earlier, just under 3,000 yards. Bunch of touchdowns. I mean, he blew up his junior and senior years. We did it again. We forgot to talk to a former VFL about playing in the Super Bowl, but I figured that Titans Rams game might be a little.
We had three guys on in the Super Bowl and forgot to ask them about that every time. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I might just need to send this tweet to him from Shane Canby. He said, no way Kent would have been a 1 or 2 star coming out of high school.
Yeah, that's preposterous. Well, look here, man, it's about that time, so I'm going to go ahead and get this music started. And we're about to give away this parking pass. I'm going to do this completely at random, live on air. I'm going to just do some scrolling here. let me find the tweet so I can go down and find the actual people that retweeted it. I'm just going to go down through here, turn my phone away from myself, go up and down here a few times. And what I want to do here, Andrew, is I'm going to tell you who the winner is on Twitter, and you just tweet them from the Checkerboard Radio account to DM you the address and information, the ship to information, and I'll get this out to them tomorrow. We're giving away a parking pass and lot B. You were about to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, when you read their name out, we do have to check. Because we had three simple rules.
Oh, yeah.
You have to follow yourself, me, and the Checkerboard Radio account. So I've got my tweet pulled up, so I can check on two accounts.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm gonna give you the name, and I'll let you check right off the bat here. So, all right, here we go.
Let's go.
All right, I got, looks like Ryan Jennings, RJ22516 on Twitter, is the winner of the pass. If he followed all the instructions. So check him out on the other site.
It's RJ what?
RJ22516. Ryan Jennings, RJ22516 on Twitter. See if he follows both those other accounts. If he does not, we'll pick another winner later today, and we'll tweet that out at random. But you'll have about 2 hours to get back to us on that.
He follows me. He follows Lee. He follows Checkerboard Radio.
He has a winner. We have a winner. He has to just give us the address by about. We'll give him until about 3 o'clock this afternoon. If he doesn't respond, we will do the whole thing again, just not on air, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'm sending him a tweet right now. So Brian, DM the Checkerboard Radio account. It's going to follow you back so we can get your information, and we will have the parking pass FedEx to you. Just looking at Ryan's Twitter, man, he follows some good people. He follows, obviously, us, Eric Gaines, a bunch of VFL stuff on here. So I think we've picked a solid winner. I think we're good to go here. So I'll get that message out to him. Congrats.
He follows all my favorites too. He follows our boy Houston. He follows all the RTI guys. Austin Price on the ball quest. He does follow Himes though, so that should be like an automatic disqualification. But nah, I'm just kidding. But that's pretty cool. You can give away something like that. I mean, it's a parking pass to the lot B. I'm glad we could do it. We're in a position to do it, and I hope he enjoys that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. Parking pass. Oh, Benny Thomas, a little upset because he's not listening. Well, we Ryan could be listening right now. We don't know that. But congratulations to Ryan. You know, that's really awesome that we were able to do that.
Until Benny, it's not over until he sends you that DM. So until he slides in your DMs around 3 p.m., he might not get it. So there's still a chance for somebody else if maybe Ryan died this week or something, God forbid. there's still a chance if he doesn't, you know, send us the info, we'll have to do this whole thing again on Twitter. So.
Yeah, so just following Ryan right now. So should be able to, he's got, what did we say, 2 hours to respond?
Well, we'll give him the 3 p.m. Eastern.
We'll go till 3 Eastern. All right, that works with me. That's really exciting.
Some people actually do go to church and things like that on Sunday, so maybe he's in prayer somewhere. I wouldn't want to steal the man's parking pass for him for not getting right back because he's in church.
and so, this show is different for me. As I, you know, said, I'm doing this one from West Tennessee, so I'm in lead time right now. But one thing I definitely want to talk about this, Lee, you know, with fantasy football kicking it up right now, the NFL preseason going on, we are excited to bring on DraftKings as a partner with the VSporto Network and Vol Sports Radio. You may or may not be familiar with DraftKings, but if you're into fantasy anything, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, or golf, they have one-day leagues for you. And this is really cool. Actually, I downloaded the app last week. These one-day leagues allow you to get in for as little as $1. There's no season-long commitment that come with your traditional fantasy league. You got to give it a shot. It's a lot of fun. Visit DraftKings.com and enter the promo code BSPORTO to get a 100% match deposit bonus of up to $600. DraftKings is going to dish out over $1 billion in prizes this year. So start playing, start winning. I definitely, check it out. Like I said, I downloaded it last week and I was playing with it at work. They have like beginner leagues and, extreme leagues. Like, it starts as easy as a dollar. You can bet $1. And basically what you do is, if you're doing NFL or even college ball, you build a one-day fantasy team for the games that day. So, I'm going to go ahead and put a dollar down for all the balls against the Bowling Green. And let's hope the balls can put up some numbers and, be able to win a little money there. So make sure you check that out, DraftKings.com and their free app from DraftKings. It's really great. And like I said, it's a dollar at least to play. But if you use the promo code BSPORTO, they will match up to $600 on your deposit bonus. So that sounds like a pretty sweet deal to me.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'm going to download that app right after we get off here. So.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Nothing. I mean, one-day fantasy league can't go wrong there. But it is Sunday. We are 6 days away. Lee, let's go ahead and do it. What is your prediction? Final score for next Saturday in Nissan Stadium.
I am going to go, barring any kind of weird practice injury Monday through Thursday here, I'm going to go 45-24 Vols. I'll say some of those points from Bowling Green may come in the fourth when you've got the reserves in, young guys. So 45-24. But I would not be surprised if Bowling Green scored early and kind of gave that Nissan Field crowd a shock, because they are faster than you think. They're very fast for a MAC team. So that offense is very, very quick. Got some guys from Florida that do find the end zone. So 45-24.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. Well, not close, but I think there's going to be some points at the end. I'm going 42-20 Balls.
Yeah. And I understand that secondary is depleted, but they should be able to get good push up front. They're not going to be able to stop defensive line. So, but they get the ball, like Joey said, they get rid of the ball quick. So they're going to have their cornerbacks and their safeties and nickelback, make good sure-handed tackles up there, because they'll be throwing some quick little bubble screens and quick little slants and stuff to these little quick receivers. And if they get by one guy, see ya. So they got to tackle.
Right.
First week jitters, so you never know, man. It should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun in Nashville and Nissan Stadium. Hopefully it'll be a max capacity crowd. But that is going to do it for us today here on Checkerboard Radio. We'll be back with you next Sunday to talk about the Bowling Green game and preview the big matchup with Oklahoma. You can follow me on Twitter at AWDorego. And follow Lee at Lee Crow with an E. And, of course, follow Ball Sports Radio at Balls Radio for all the latest about Tennessee sports. For Lee Crow, I'm Andrew DeRego. Thanks for listening to Checkerboard Radio here on Ball Sports Radio, a BSPORTO channel.
CheckerboardRadio.com. You're listening to Checkerboard Radio, a BSPORTO channel.
Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.